tuned into the Audio Asylum. Let's get crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world's most pointless podcast. Welcome to the Audio Asylum. I'm your host, Joe, and I've been like super excited to do this for like weeks now. I have the star of the movie Terrifier, Demon Hole, and Samantha Scafidi. You wear many hats.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's good. All like the past few weeks, I was like literally just like, I can't wait to do this podcast.
I was excited when you asked me when we met at the convention. I was like, heck yes.
Yeah, like, so it was funny because I was walking around because my friend had a vendor table there at Brooklyn Horror Con, for those listening, and I like saw you, and I haven't watched the movie since it came out.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh shit, and then I saw the banner behind you and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
So like I came up and said hi, and like I was like, oh man, I haven't watched this movie in so long, I need to go rewatch it.
When did you watch it originally? How long ago? Because it was, I can't believe it's been like since 2016 that movie.
Yeah, I watched
we filmed it.
I think right when it got on Netflix. So maybe like that same year in, or a year and a half in.
Yeah. Yeah. It must be like 2017 or something, or yeah, 18. Some year, but that was at least like 3 years ago.
Yeah, like a friend of mine recommended it to me, and I remember watching it on Netflix and I was like, whoa, this is like fucked up.
I'm glad you had that response. A lot of people love it. They're like, this is amazing. I'm like, it's fucked up though.
Yeah, like it's fucked up in a good way. And
I'm like, tell me, maybe I'll interview you. Tell me why it was good fucked up.
I guess it's a horror fan thing. I think we appreciate a good screwed up movie.
Yeah. Oh no, I appreciate a good screwed up movie, definitely. But yeah, that movie's like next level. Like, someone made this like fan clip recently that I saw that was pretty awesome on Instagram, and it like compiled like all the horrible scenes with like a song that was inspired by Terrifier.
Oh shit!
And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about how horrific the film is in terms of like violence.
And it's like a slow build too. Like that's something I appreciate about it. Like, it starts off just like creepy clown bothering your sister and her friend. And it's just like little bit by bit, like even the pizza scene where you're like, oh, like, what the fuck did he do in the bathroom?
Oh my God. Yeah. With Gino, right? Was it? Well, Gino and the other character. But yeah, that scene, I was just like, did you have to do that? Like all of that at once?
What was the process like for getting into that movie? Like, was it recommended to you, or did you audition on your own?
Well, I said Gino, and Gino Caffarelli plays the deli owner in that scene. He cast me in one of my first little projects out of acting conservatory. So Gino had worked with me, and then Damien, I guess, knew Gino, I'm not exactly sure actually how they know each other, but anyway, Gino was in the film, and when they were casting it, Damien asked Gino if he knew any actresses, and he had worked with me, so he recommended me, and then I auditioned, and Damien, oddly enough, casted me.
That's awesome. When you were growing up, like, were you a horror fan, or were you just more so just into acting, like, whatever caught your attention?
I think I do love horror, not like a fanatic. Like, I love films in general. Like, even if you ask me what my favorite genre was, like, I really can't be too specific on it, because it just kind of everything, as long as it's a good film with a good storyline and, you know, something that's compelling, I like it. But I always watched horrors. I always felt like if I wanted to get into my body, you know, in terms of feeling, I would watch a horror film. But I didn't start, I don't think I started appreciating it until I actually started doing the conventions, weirdly, and became like really a horror fan. But
that's where the diehard fan base shows up.
Yeah. Yeah. But then all of a sudden you start getting into this dialogue with people, and you're like, and you start to ask like, well, what does the horror film mean to you? And then all of a sudden you see it in like a completely different lens that maybe it's not how you would have seen it prior. And then that was like a weird awakening for me the last 2 months, and seeing like the diehard fans and why they love the genre so much. And then it made me love and appreciate the genre even more. which is weird, but
no, it's not weird. It's you know, you grew to like a new appreciation for that specific thing.
Yeah. But to answer your question, I did appreciate horror from like afar, is what I usually say. But then, but I was more, acting was just something that I never imagined being a scream queen. I know that's a questionable word, but I never imagined being a horror actress more known for the horror genre.
Yeah.
Cause I was doing more dramatic roles, but I love it. The horror films are like the most fun to make, weirdly. So not weirdly, it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Were there any like on a set like that, I'm assuming, you know, there's probably a lot of, it's probably tense, you know, because it's a heavy movie, like in the sense of like people dying every few minutes, but
it is the opposite.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm assuming like on like the cast is very like friendly. And is there any like funny moments or something?
Yeah. I think like with horror films and anything that's like heavy, unless like a drama where you have to keep the focus, you know, so you don't, you know, pull yourself out of it. I feel like to lessen the dark energy, you've got to be comedic. And of course, like David, who plays the clown, it's just like one of the funniest, nicest, most talkative person you'd ever meet, which is like the complete opposite of the character that he plays, which is kind of amazing that he's that talented to be able to completely shapeshift. But yeah, like I didn't really get to film with anyone but David, because most of my scenes were, I think the only other scene I ever was with anyone was with Matt McAllister, when, you know, who played the janitor, and then and then you know, the roommates, but that was like a quick scene. But other than that, was with David. So David and I spent a lot of time, and David would always be like playing around on the bike, and like, you know, the day that he had to do the nude scene, he was joking around, you know, prior to getting into that scene. So we definitely had like, yeah, weird videos that I feel like if I ever found them, I would love to post, but then at the time Damien was like, don't ever post those.
Yeah, he doesn't want the image to be ruined, probably.
I think at that time, because like it hadn't become like culty and so loved, and David wasn't doing the conventions, and I think at that time it could have definitely like harmed the character, but but now I feel like he'd be like, you know, fuck it, put it online. But I just don't know where the videos are.
Yeah, so. I have it's funny because I actually have my friend here from Pennsylvania, and I just showed him the movie.
Oh god. What did he think?
You could come in real quick, bro.
Yeah.
Hey,
how you doing? It was crazy.
Do you like horror?
My reaction, and I was just like, oh my god, I'm gonna pass the fuck out.
Wait, do you like slashers?
I honestly don't watch a lot of like horror slash movies at all, but he showed it to me, and I was just like, oh my god.
I showed him the I filmed his reaction to it. I'll send it to you. I filmed his reaction to
the
sawing scene.
Oh god, yeah,
that's okay. A brutal one.
So I am like you, I'm not like a fan of violence and gore. I just can't, like, I can't watch like anything that's real that has to do with cutting into anything or fake. Like, I just can't do it. But Damien, my two friends came to the last convention I was at, and Damien showed them a scene that arguably I think is worse than anything in that film, which is a scene in Terrifier 2. And I recorded their reaction too, because it was so horrific and it was so visceral for them. And I'm the same way. Like, I'm like, yeah, I can't.
Yeah, it was a great day. Great way to start my day right there.
No, I'm like, I at one point, Damien's like, I didn't know you didn't like this stuff. I was like, when of our 5 years of knowing each other did you not know that every time I see this type of violence, I want to vomit?
But the reaction in that scene, when you find her, is like,
yeah,
awesome though. And
I don't even remember how I reacted, because that I wasn't even looking at anything that day. The magic of filmmaking. But
you know, I was gonna say, because and like obviously, you know, you wind up with the clown and he fucking kills you, unfortunately. But like,
well, he doesn't kill me.
Oh yeah, well, exactly.
He eats my face, and then we don't know, and then at the end I take revenge on someone else, but I'm still alive, because technically I'm in the second one.
Yeah, so yeah, I screwed up my wording, but as like that part is all happening before like you get hit with the car and it crashes through the doors, I find myself like rooting for you, like, and that whole minute span, like when I rewatched the film a few weeks ago, I was like, fuck, I haven't seen it in so long. I'm like, does she get up and kill him? And I'm like, please get up and kill him.
A lot of people want me to get up and kill him. It's really sad.
And then like he starts eating your face. And then, as you say, you lived, and the ending is basically a reflection of the beginning of the movie. Yeah, spoiler. Yeah. But and then I watched Demon Hole the other night.
God, that was old. I think that's older than that's older than Terrifier. That was like a long time ago.
When did you film that? 2013, maybe.
I think it was straight after. It must have been a year out of acting school, which was 2012. Yeah, that was like that. We went to Ohio to film that for a month. Like that was like run and gun, small cameras, small cast, like literally just as little amount of crew as we had on Terrifier.
Yeah, I was going to say I enjoyed it because it's like it's short and like weird and straight to the point.
But, strange.
But yeah, it's a strange movie. So if you're listening and you Demon Hole, you could get it on Prime for like I think it's like $5 or Showtime if you have a Showtime subscription, you can get it. But the movie is essentially like these you teenagers or whatever, like you get sent to do community service.
Yeah.
And you wind up what you think is in a cabin, like in like the woods, and there's this fucking demon and a hole that's apparently making you guys see shit.
You're funny. You're actually like telling me, you're reminding me what the film's about because it's been so long since I did it and seen it. But actually, yeah, it had to do with something about like being on a sacred burial site, right? Or something strange. Yeah.
And apparently, whatever demon is like in the woods or whatever is making you guys like hallucinate and see things.
Yeah.
Once again, like as the movie goes on, I find myself rooting for you like so much. And I'm like, this girl needs to get out alive.
Listen, like, final girl in two movies, two horror films. I'm trying to keep it going.
Yeah. And that one, though, in a Demon Hole, it's kind of open-ended what happens to you. I mean, you're in the ambulance and it drives off. And then the guy who's supposed to be your love interest just turns into the fucking demon.
Yeah. I have to say, though, I love that director, Josh, who we did the film with. The best part of that movie was it's a fun movie. And we had most I loved from that film was we went to Ohio. We spent like a month or a month and a half together. So it was like this weird like time that you can never get back. That was completely like a fantasy. But the cast and the director, Josh, it was just like magical. It was fun. The only aspect that wasn't fun of that film was like being in the middle of the winter in Ohio, like on all these sites and like not having any sort of like refuge from the cold. That was like brutal. But like, other than that, like, yeah, it was a fun movie. And I learned a lot because it was like one of my first like features that I had done, I think, like where I was a main character. But
nice. But, yeah, it is a very fun movie. And I thought the cast was great. I thought the acting was great. And especially like the interactions, like those two other girls that like they're just bitches to you. And I'm like, I hope she like smacks them. Like, I hope they die.
Oh my God, yeah. It's like we fulfill our archetypes, you know. It's like brooding, like, you know, emo whatever girl, and then the one that's, you know, the prissy one and the hot girl. Yeah. It's fun. It was a lot of those people were so awesome to just work with and talented as hell. Yeah.
What was your first film, if you don't mind me asking? Like, what was your first role when you got into acting?
I did mention earlier that Gino cast me in my first like acting job. So that was, but that was like a spec. So it was like a short form thing that we had. It was a spec for a feature. They ended up making the feature and recasting it. But that was like the first thing I ever did outside of school, which was just a kind of, it was called Franny Lou that got then made into The Cruise. I've done a lot of like independent projects, like a lot. There's like 20 something IMDb credits, I think, but there's like a number that I had done, because I think when I got out of acting school, usually when you get out of school if you're at like a university, you have like a showcase.
Yeah.
And then you get paired up with you potentially could get an agent or a manager. But the acting school at the time that I'd gone to was a conservatory. It was smaller. It was called it's called the William Esper Studio. And they didn't have that. So when I got out of school, I didn't have representation. And it was very much like you go online, you see what's available, which is not like everything that you would that everyone sees, because if you don't have an agent, you can't get access to most of the like legit work.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of that. And then I ended up learning how to produce in order to act. So a lot of like my first like 5 years was just trying to build a reel to like have legitimacy to get bigger parts, which was a lot of like just going out and having to do the grind just because I didn't have like an agent or a manager. So I learned a lot and I'm very thankful for it, but definitely was not, it's definitely a lot of films that never got seen, a lot of films that that were like not as good as others. But
is there anything
was like a
Oh no, it's okay, you can finish what you were saying.
I don't remember. It's fine. I don't remember. Like you meant somewhere. The thought came in and
then
went out.
That's okay. I was going to say, is there anything that you did back then that didn't get to be seen that you wish could have, that you're allowed to talk about? Or
there was a feature that I had worked on with an ex of mine where it was like so homegrown. He was the director and I was the actor and the producer on it. It was like literally like film school 101, where you put all your money into something and you learn all the lessons the hard way.
Yeah.
But you like expedite the process of, you know, learning how to produce and film and be a filmmaker. That never got released just because I think, you know, there's just so many aspects to making something and then feeling confident and putting it out into the world. I don't know if it will never get seen, but we did some really beautiful work on that, and it was beautifully like directed and written by my ex at the time. I had very positive things to say. and the DP, who was a good friend of mine at the time, also did a phenomenal job. So I'm really proud of that project and that process. But I think that's the one that if it got seen, it would be like a nice way to like look back, a nostalgic thing to realize that was probably a lot of my informative years of learning in a safe environment how to fuck up a million times and then not make those mistakes hopefully again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that would be it. But I think everything happens as it should. There's some stuff that I wish would never have seen the light of day. That saw the light of day. So I mean, but I won't mention which one those were.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about
it. Yeah,
we
don't need to go there.
So my next question is kind of generic, but I'm just interested because like I'm not an actor, but like when I was in high school, like I was very into theater and performing arts. Which yeah. is weird because I have like hella social anxiety.
Wait, I love that. Maybe that's an outlet. That was an outlet or the attraction.
Yeah. So like I openly talk about it on the podcast and like, you know, with my friends all the time that like I'm insecure as hell, but something yeah. when I was in high school, when I was in my theater class, I remember going in and I was like, oh, I'm too nervous to do this. Like, yeah. please switch me. And then 2 weeks later, my acting teacher came up to me and he was like, all right, like, it's not official, but we can start you in art in 2 weeks. And I was like, wait, no, don't change it. Like,
yeah.
But I was going to ask, when you were in high school, like, were you in any school plays or was there like a moment that you were like, what was the moment where you were like, I want to be an actor. I like performing in front of the camera.
It's weird because I feel like everyone had remember, not everyone, but some people remember a moment. Now it makes sense looking back, but I'm very much someone who like lives in my imagination and my fantasy. Like I always, when I was younger, I'd say if you could just put a camera inside my brain, there'd be thousands of movies. Cause I was always daydreaming and fantasizing and doing all that and playing all these roles inside my imagination. I didn't have like an imaginary friend, but I definitely was that person who was by themselves, like talking to someone as if they were there, you know, to entertain myself. Yeah. You know, like, or like, but, so I think like looking back, I'm like, oh, duh, you know, and I was always like writing when I was younger too, in a weird way. And I knew nothing about writing. So it's, I think one of those things where you look back and you're like, naturally I was doing these things. So of course, when I started to get exposed just by luck to a class or being in the cinema, I think then I felt the pull am thankful that I had exposure. So like, I think I had a teacher in middle school who, Mrs. Doran, who was a literature teacher, who I think she had a husband who was in film, and she was like, you should try a class or go to this theater camp. And then she recommended Stage Door Manor. So one summer I went to, or two summers, I went to Stage Door Manor, which was a theater camp in the Catskills. Nice. And that was like my first exposure to like actors and theater and all that stuff, which was exciting. But I was conflicted during that time because I was also growing up with brothers and I was an athlete. So,
okay.
So it was like a weird, I was like trying to go into a world that like no one I knew was really in, you know? And so I didn't think it was like possible. So it was that. And then college, I took a class while I was getting my business degree. And then I think when I went into the summer after I graduated, I took a summer program, and then I was just, I knew I had to pursue it. And then my dad thankfully supported me, and my mother thankfully supported me, and were like, if you really want to act, you should go to school for 2 years and like do the full-time program. So I was very lucky. It was kind of like a weird unraveling where I had all these little sequence of things that happened to pull out what I think was always there, which is like a passion for, you know, all that.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
Like the,
I was terrified, fucking terrified. Yeah. Like I remember to like mirror what you were saying. I mean, it wasn't that I was always afraid of giving like speeches in class and would shake, you know, and I was always afraid of like, oh God, what if I drop a line? And what if I do this? And insecure and worried about judgment. But it's weird. You like, when you push yourself into there, into that space, there's like this weird high that you get, and then it kind of becomes attractive, and then you kind of keep finding yourself coming back and forth. And I still get nervous, I think, sometimes when I think perform, especially live, because you're like, anything could happen. Yeah. I think that's like the thing that's exciting that also you seek out now. But the more you do it, the less afraid you become, just because you start to understand yourself and the beast and how it all works.
Yeah, I remember like my first few times getting like up in front of a class or on stage in high school, and it was so like opposite me. Like I was nervous, but then I'd get up there and like for some reason like my insecurity went away. And like you said, there's still that little bit of like, what if I fuck up? Like,
yeah.
But then once you're in the groove of it, it's just so much fun.
What
sports did you play?
Well, before you say anything, I would argue that you said it opposite of you, but I would argue that that's probably closest to who you really are. But for some reason, like all of us, you know, we grow up feeling insecure, feeling like whether it was the brother that I had or the, not, I'm actually just like throwing out a random example.
Yeah.
This is not actually true. But like if I had a brother that was like making me feel like I was insecure, which was not the case, but then that may be why I feel that way. But then all of a sudden, like you said, when you get up on stage, it goes away, and there's like, you actually probably get closest to who you really are. And that's also, I think, the feeling that becomes intoxicating is like, oh, I'm accessing a part of myself that really is closer to who I really am, which is a confident and, you know.
Yeah, because I always say like, it's just me with the volume turned all the way up. The person I wish I could be when I'm not performing in any aspect. And I haven't performed on stage in a while, but like we have like a YouTube channel. I know I want to get back into it. I did an improv comedy group in Manhattan. I want to say it was right before COVID. Yeah, 2019.
Yeah.
And that was my first time on stage since like 2016. I was like, oh my God, I missed this like so much.
So good. Making me miss it. I'm like, especially the improv or the comedy stuff. It's just like, I did a improv at one point and I loved it because you could kind of like fuck around but fuck up, and you know.
Yeah, it's so much fun, especially in an improv setting, because like if you fuck up, you could turn the fuck up into a joke.
Yeah. Yep.
But getting that reaction, that instant reaction from people, like, it is so cool.
Yeah.
I heard you say you played sports. I was just interested. What sports?
Oh, yeah. I played soccer, basketball, and softball.
Nice.
But I grew up with two brothers. So when I was younger, I played baseball in like a boys league, and then I played basketball in a boys league until they wouldn't let me play anymore. And then, yeah. I've also tried volleyball. I've tried field hockey. I was like doing, I think, almost everything. It was crazy, but
that's awesome. I played basketball for a little bit and like yeah. when I was in middle school. Were you like crossing dudes up? I think so.
Oh yeah, no. I was actually talking about this. I was talking about this with my therapist the other day. I forgot that like when I was in middle school, I wanted to pursue the arts, but I was such a, my family. I came from an athletic family, and we were known for being athletes. That and I was a very good athlete because I played since I was like a little kid with boys, and just like the toughness and I had the mental capacity to like be tough in the game. Not, I didn't necessarily have like great like ball skills in like soccer or anything, but I was saying the other day, I was like, I forgot because I got best athlete my senior year, and then I forgot that when I went to college, I didn't want anyone to know I was athletic at all because I was afraid they would want. I'd have to play, right? Oh, to be like forced to like go back to playing sports because I, you know, I felt the pressure to play when I was younger. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I'd cross someone up. Sometimes I'd drain a shot in someone's face.
Nice.
But those were the glory days. I can't do that anymore. Otherwise, I'll throw my back out.
Nah, you probably still got it in you. I was
it's still there, but I'll just not be able to walk for about a week after I cross someone up.
I played basketball for a little in middle school, and then I got to high school. I was on the wrestling team for like 3 weeks, and I was failing math. But then I was also in theater, and they were doing like the beginning of the year talent show rehearsals. And I was like, shit, I can't go to rehearsal if I'm on the wrestling team, and they're already going to kick me off the wrestling team because I'm failing math. So I just went to the coach, and I was like, I'm going to get kicked off in about 2 days anyway. But even if I wasn't, I'd probably quit because I'm really into this theater class. And he was like,
oh. That's so good that you did that. So you quit?
Yeah.
That's good. No, that's one thing that like, I wish I did. Everything happens as it should. But I definitely was like wanting to pursue the arts more. And I was, I think at that time it was more supported or cooler to like be an athlete than it was to like be in the whatever the other thing was, and I felt pressured to stay. So good on you for being like, fuck this, bye.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, my high school was like bizarro world. If you were a performing arts kid, you were like popular at a certain point, and the kids on the teams, they were popular too, but not as much as you think. My high school was totally the reverse of what you see in a movie or a TV show.
Yeah.
It was backwards.
Yeah. I mean, that is great, even though I think all of it should be honored, right? If you want to do athletics, you should do athletics. If you want to do art, you should do art. It was weird. It was like, I had a really small school. It was like 40 people in the grade. So like, we really didn't have, I mean, there were cliques within the 40 people in a grade, but everyone was pretty, like whatever clique, if you were in art or you were in sports, you were honored for doing that. It was just that like you were seen as that. So if you tried to go outside of how you were seen, you know, so I was the athlete. So if I tried to do dance or theater, they were like, you're not a theater person. You're not a, you know, yeah, and the same thing, if a theater person tried to play sports, they're like, you're not an athlete. It's like,
it's so weird.
You just got to fit in your box.
Yeah. I was just about to say, it's so weird that people like, you can't do numerous things. Like people will pigeonhole you. I've never understood that in my whole life.
Yeah. Well, I hope it's changed. I don't know. I feel like maybe people are younger and are able to pursue the things they want, and like things are being more honored. I don't know.
Yeah. I hope so too. Yeah. I mean, it's sad, like here in like, you know, New York City, that like there's no funding, like as much as there used to be. Like there's no support for any of the performing arts after school activities as much as there once was.
Is that really, because I'm not really too connected to what's going on in the school systems, and especially with that, did they cut funding for that?
Yeah, it's so hard to get like teachers even paid for like time for rehearsal for plays and shows. Well, especially now post pandemic, which I never ever talk about politics, but I'm just going to throw this one thing out there. I read an article the other day. It was like high risk COVID activities for after school. And none of them were sports. It was all like dance, drama, like all performing arts related stuff. And I was like, how the fuck is this high risk?
Yeah.
Like it's.
How is that? That's weird.
Makes no sense.
I don't. That's, it's just a shame because the arts is a really beautiful, it's a really beautiful, like sports is like great because you learn teamwork, how to support, you get humbled by it because,
yeah,
you know, you could have a great game and the next game you can suck like shit, you know, and
yeah,
there's so many like amazing aspects to like what you learn from being an athlete or being on a team. But then like arts, it's like something that is so transformative, I think, in terms of like, you know, just processing yourself and your soul and, you know, and becoming more empathetic and compassionate. Like, I think it's all important. And that's why, I mean, I don't want to get political either, but I just, if that's the case, and I don't know enough to say anything, that's kind of tragic because I think they're all important. I think it's giving people access to what they're drawn to, you know?
Yeah. Like for me, I would say like performing arts definitely like helped save my life and helped me grow my confidence. Like, you know,
yeah,
it did like so much for me, and it sucks that like, cause my day job is like working within a school and like,
yeah,
seeing that I don't have like the kids that are in the schools now, they don't have what I used to have. Like, and
interesting. Yeah.
That's like such a bummer because I was this insecure, shy kid, still am to a degree at 27, yeah, but
being, we all have our shit to work through.
Yeah. But like, you know, then I wound up in a theater class and in a guitar class, and both those classes, same teacher, shout out Mr. Rader, like that helped me like grow so much, I think, in terms of my self-esteem.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way. Acting, writing, directing, all those things I would say have saved my life. And I 100%, like, I remember going into acting class and being timid in the movement course and looking at people being so judgmental. It's like, why are people crawling all over the ground? Yeah. You know, like, that's not who I am. Like, that's not cool, you know? And then all of a sudden a year later, I'm on the ground and I'm being weird and owning it and loving it and being like, yeah, it's just, it's really, And even just in terms of like other stuff that I've done, it's like a lot of through the arts, you could process your own self and story, you know, and then have an outlet for it, which is so important that, you know, to get into touch with yourself like that.
Yeah, of course. And
yeah, it's like, it literally is. Arts is like, I mean, I know there are more immediate things that are important, like, you know, healthcare workers and certain occupations that are like, you know, we need those things right now and that need more support. Even like I deal with like a lot of work I do is with the systemic failure and the hospital systems and all that other stuff. So I know that there's those occupations are so important, but there is also the truth of art being really, that's something that's transformative and powerful for like the soul of an individual. And I definitely think it's an honor to be able to have been able to have the ability to access those programs and then to also continue to do it.
Yeah. So. Because, you know, you're also a director, but before I get into that, like, you know, well, even directing, like when you act and you direct, you're giving people a source of entertainment so they can check out of their daily lives for an hour, 2 hours. Yeah. And that's like, so damn important, in my opinion, whether you're going to see a live performance or you're watching a movie at home or you go to a concert, anything. I think people underestimate how important that is in a person's life.
Yeah. Yeah. To add to that, a lot of the thing that changed my mind, not changed my mind, but shifted my perspective on the horror genre was you realize that people go to be entertained, but also like in maybe not such a conscious way, experiencing a story where you can identify with the character, it kind of mirrors, you feel your own struggle. And so, you know, in a weird way, it is like cathartic and a processing occurs, you know. And I had a friend who saw something recently, they actually saw the TV show Made, which addresses like domestic violence and being a single mother. And, you know, they were like, you know, I hadn't thought about my mom being a single mother when I was a kid and what she must have went through. And it was really triggering for her, but also really important because it's something that I think she still was healing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like, I think there is something that's very important because there's so many things that we push away, you know, because of suffering or because of someone rejecting us or because we were told when we were younger, you know, that we didn't have what it takes. And then all of a sudden we see someone else and we project onto them, you know, and then all of a sudden it kind of gives us hopefully a mode of like confidence and catharsis and all that. And sometimes it's just pure, I need to laugh because I've had a shit day and, you know, I just need to zap out for a second. And that's just as important too. But it's extremely important. I think the work, but yeah.
Yeah. I say it all the time, man, movies, music, and the arts, it's more important than what people think it is for the reasons that we just spoke about.
Yeah. Yeah, I think most people would agree. I think sometimes when it's put above other things, that's when there's conflict, you know. I think everything, it's like as Shakespeare said, it was the world of the stage and we're all just mere players. It's like all of us have a task that we see through. And some of us create the art and some of us, you know, save literal lives and, you know, some of us educate and it's all a beautiful task that we are given, but definitely art can be really transformative and healing if utilized in a more sacred way.
But
you don't have to. You can just watch someone get murdered and not think more about it, you know, in a horror film, not in real life. And you know, and laugh about, you know, the guy kicking a dog. What was that, Anchorman or something? Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and if that could be the extent of how far you go in terms of analyzing it, but.
Yeah. Before I ask the two big questions, since we were on this topic, do you have a favorite few movies you go to when you have like a shit day, or a favorite TV show, or both?
I'm like a weirdo because I don't usually watch comedies.
Okay.
And if I'm in a mood, like if I'm like having an emotional day, I'm the person who puts on the depressing song, you know, and I'll put like the depressing movie on. So I'm just like, all right, something's going on. Let's go deeper into that. You know, everyone's like, you should probably watch a comedy once in a while. And then like recently, actually, funny enough, my friend and I were driving from the city and she gently forced me to listen to this podcast called My Dad Wrote a Porno. Have you heard of that?
I haven't, but I'm going to definitely.
It is amazing. And I'm like plugging it. Not that it needs any plug because it's like went viral when it came out like years ago. I haven't even finished the first season. But I think in that moment of driving up and listening to this podcast, I was like, oh, it's so nice to laugh. And like, you know, it's so ridiculous, you know, but.
My dad wrote a poem. Yeah. The title of that is intriguing.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anymore because I think everyone just needs to experience it for themselves. But a lot of people, it's out there. It's massively out there. I think HBO like bought the rights to do like some special or something on it. Or yeah, there's something like it's not like it's, you know, some best kept secret. I just had no idea until because I'm not searching out the comedic stuff, ironically enough. But
gotcha. No, I understand that. When I have a bad day sometimes too, I fall victim to myself by listening to some sad songs too, so I get it.
Yeah,
it's I'm almost like you need it. To hear it.
Yeah, I'm like, let's feel the feels. Like, I mean, maybe when I was younger I used to, you know, suppress it and put it away, but now I'm like, I'm depressed, let's put on that sad song and figure out what it is.
Yeah, it's not always a bad thing. Sometimes you got to sit in it for a little while.
Yeah, exactly. And then sometimes I put on the song that gets me energized to get out of the mood. But yeah. But you do. Yeah. But generally, there isn't really a go-to. It's more of like, I like watching like The Godfather.
That's a good movie.
You know, like if I'm like, oh, I need to feel confident, let me watch The Godfather. You know, or My Cousin Vinny makes me laugh because that's like one of my favorite films growing up. Obviously, there's a trend of Italian-American films, but.
Yeah, I was going to say mob movies.
Yeah, well, Italian American. Grew up with the Goodfellas and the Godfather and the Marissa Tomei, My Cousin Vinny, Joe Pesci stuff. But
nice, those are all.
I also love other stuff, but yeah.
So besides your acting, you're also a director, and from the research I've done the past few weeks, some shorts to raise awareness for domestic violence. For the people listening that, you know, might not know these projects you do, would you like to bring some awareness to that?
Yeah. So I'm directing. I switched careers 2 years ago ish. Just because an opportunity came where I got repped commercially by a very big production company that has been very supportive. And two of the projects that they supported me in was a film, two films that I wrote that we did with Rain, which is Rape, Assault, Incest National Network. So Rain, that deals specifically with sexual assault for survivors and resources. So they're amazing. We did our first film, which brought attention to specifically I was writing films for systemic failure.
Okay.
So just through my own history with, just being a survivor, which I'm very open about in my later years with domestic violence in a relationship. I was very exposed to the systemic failure that existed in hospitals and the police stations and all that. So when I joined this production company and then we teamed up with Rain, we made one film that addressed systemic failure in the hospital systems. And what we found was that when people were going to the hospitals to get rape kits done, they'd have to wait 10 hours, which I found out because when I was in my 20s, a friend of mine called me to go stay with her at the hospital while she waited to get a test done because she had been raped. So that was I had a real life experience with that. And then later on when we were making the film, I realized, oh, there's a shortage of SANE nurses, which is sexual assault nurse examiners.
Okay.
And basically there's not enough funding to hire SANE nurses. And also a nurse had emailed me and said, it's not even just that, you actually have to pay yourself to get certified. And so, people want to actually be SANE nurses. They just don't have the money or the ability to pay for the training that's required. And so what you end up having is just a shortage of people that need, who can only specifically do those tests. So you find survivors, there are so many, people who have been victims of assault and rape. They have to wait extended periods of time just to get seen.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people leave, and there's another problem where those kits never get tested. But so that was the first film. And the second one, we were dealing specifically with the transgender community and specifically Black transgender. We worked with this amazing woman, Lena Bloom, and we were addressing the issues of that specific community doesn't even have the resources or feel safe to go to the precincts after an assault.
Yeah.
And how do we bring awareness to that? And so those are the work that I try to, because of my own experiences, I try to do when I can. Because there's not really, you don't make money in those things, and you do give a lot of time. And I think those are the most important things to do, is to bring the awareness to, because those are things that could be addressed almost immediately, hopefully, by government and money.
Yeah, I saw
still are problems, but
I saw a wait that's with the girl in the waiting room in the hospital. Yes, and then the last one you talked about with the Black girl walking.
Yeah, Lena, walk.
Yeah. So if you guys want to check those out, if you type in Samantha's name on YouTube and you type in walk next to it, and then if you type in wait, you can see those. And it's heavy stuff, but it's I support you for bringing awareness to that, because those are things that need to be talked about, and putting them within your art, that's the best way, I think, sometimes to do it. Are there any links anybody could go to if they wanted to, is there any donations or anything like that?
Yeah. So if you go to Rain, you can, of course, they have the films on their site.
Okay.
I think if you search within their website, but any Rain specifically would be great, but even just what I would advise, we're doing it actually in our own communities, is trying to find the community within your community that and support them. So if you live in, I don't know, say Catskills, New York, you know, you can search, like, I know, so Greene County, I live upstate, so Greene County, there's Community Action of Greene County, and then they have certain shelters. So if it's domestic violence or sexual assault, you know, whatever it is, they'll have, you can Google, you know, domestic violence services in Greene County. And then find like a local organization, because those are the ones that need the most help.
Yeah.
And that's where there's like a massive disconnect between the community and the organization. So if you, because they just don't have the funding and they don't have the numbers. So that's like the, I think just if anyone wants to, they can go to RAIN and they can go to, like, you know, Domestic Violence National Network. Those are all really massive organizations. You can donate, you can spread awareness. They're amazing. But if you can locally, you know, Google and try to, you know, find one within your community, that also would go really far.
You're doing God's work, Samantha. That's awesome.
I'm trying. I mean, like, I feel like, you know, you want to leave the world a little bit better than you, than
when you
want to
leave
a little better than, you know, than you came, you know. I want to leave it just a little bit better, but also I've been very blessed and privileged in so many ways. So it's like the least I could do, you know?
That's awesome. But I'm very like inspired, because there's a lot of things that I've dealt with in my life and my friends deal with that I think should be, you know, raised awareness to. And I'm very open on the show that I deal with depression and anxiety. I make jokes about it, but, like, you know, I have a dark sense of humor, so I poke fun at myself.
Same. I mean, look, I'm not going to repeat the jokes I made when I was going through some of the dark shit, but people would be like, what are you, crazy? And it would be offensive to people. So I'm not going to say what it was. You know, something.
Maybe off recording if you want.
But yeah, but I think, like, that's okay. Cause, like, you know, when you go through really dark shit, sometimes you got to use humor to process it, or just, like, to take the steam out of life, which is really fucking hard.
And yeah. Sometimes you got to try to laugh at it.
Yeah. Sometimes you can go deep and you can, you know, dive into those issues and talk about them openly, which I commend you for, cause mental health is massively important to talk about, because we all suffer it, you know, to different degrees. And it needs to be destigmatized. I mean, I went through it coming out of my trauma.
Yeah.
So I'm very open about it too. But but sometimes you also just gotta laugh about it. And then sometimes you've gotta be able to ask the friend for help, or be the friend that helps. So it's all okay. I mean, we're all, I think, trying to do the best that we can, as long as we're not, like, harming anyone in the process of our actions. But
exactly, it's all about trying to support each other. Me and this guy over here had a nice conversation on the phone the other day, so
I love it when you have people like that, because I had a friend call me today and was like, I'm not having a good day, and I was like, do you need to come sleep on my couch or in my bed? Like, it doesn't matter. And vice versa, I know that, like, you know, if I need to call someone or my family, especially, like, I can do that. So it's important to make sure that if you don't have that, then you are open to that.
Exactly. You
know? But so, it's good. But
all that stuff's really important. And thank you again for being honest. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you say you have a charity event to go to, but I gotta ask the big one.
That's the big one. I probably won't answer it.
I watched it.
I know where it's going.
Recent interview. What are you allowed to say about Terrifier 2?
That I'm in it.
Bam.
Someone did ask, they were like, what's, and I was like, well, they're like, did you shoot a lot? And I was like, well, I shot less than the last one. I said, but the last one we shot a lot.
Yeah.
So even me saying I shot less doesn't give anything away, because we shot a lot on the first one.
I'm super excited for a part two, because now rewatching the movie a bunch of times, I'm like, shit, I want to know what the fuck's going to happen.
Yeah. By the way, I say I'm in it, and Damien could watch his interview and be like, you know what? I'm going to cut her. We're gonna cut her. No, but I think the second one, and what I do say to people is, I've seen glimpses of it. I know that, like, people have seen that he did a preview at, like, in Texas, I think, at a convention. It is longer, just as grotesque, if not, it's actually worse. I think it's more grotesque and more grueling and more violent, which I don't know if that's passable after watching the first one or rewatching it, but it will definitely deliver. Damien will deliver.
Like, I'm really, really excited for it. And not even really allowed to tell us when we'd get a trailer, right? Unless there's one out there and I didn't know.
There is a trailer. And there is. The funny thing is, no, there is. And the funny thing is, I saw it the other day and Damien's like, it's been out for months. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I had.
None of his months. It got like three, it got like a million views or something, which I was like, oh, good to know.
Oh, shit. I didn't even know.
I didn't know either, though. Like, I literally, because you never know what's fake and what's real, but there is a trailer.
Man,
and I say that, I know that's the answer. And I'm like, is that true? It is true. There's a trailer out there.
I got to check it out.
Check it out, yeah.
Before we end the Zoom meeting, do you have a favorite? I'll leave you with three questions. We're getting off of Halloween season, but I got to ask, favorite candy?
Do it. Oh.
You could give me a top three bracket if you want.
Yeah, I'm like, well, now I'm like, because I've just recently become allergic to dairy.
So oh, no.
So I can't even eat it, but I would say Butterfingers.
Okay.
I eat like Butterfingers and Reese's Pieces. Like the Reese's. The cups, not Reese's Pieces. Reese's, yeah, the cups.
Yes.
I also used to love Charleston Chews and Rolos.
Okay, those are pretty good.
Yeah. Or like a frozen Milky Way. I'm just giving you all the things, but yeah.
Yeah, I always say I'm a big advocate.
You're like, give me one, I give you 10, but
no, it's fine. I'm always a big advocate for put your candy, your chocolate candy in the freezer or the fridge. Tastes better that way.
So good. No, it's so good. Yeah, yeah.
Favorite scene that you've ever filmed that you acted in?
Oh. Oh my God. I'm like, I have to trace back all the.
You could pick one from Terrifier if you want, if there was
I'll pick one from Terrifier only because I'm like, I've done so many. I've actually done acting scenes in like programs with friends who were directors in like Columbia or NYU that actually were really fun to act out that weren't ever recorded.
Oh wow.
So, I was just like, maybe a play I could say. No, in Terrifier. Definitely not when I was wearing the prosthetic, only because I was sick that day. But I think the day that I remember the most was when we were doing the scene with Puya, and David had to wear the prosthetic on him and was like basically naked because it was super cold. It was super funny. And then I was like putting that like chest where I was looking through the hole. So yeah. I think that day collectively was pretty fun in terms of filming. Yeah.
That's awesome. Like I said, I know you have a charity event. If there's anything you want to plug for anybody, please let them know where they can find you and find any information.
Yeah, you can find me. It's my Instagrams. I don't really have any other social media. I mean, I have a Twitter, but I don't use it. And then my Instagram is my first initial last name. So it's Escafidia. Or it's Escafidi. That's it. I totally support October was Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And it's, even though it's technically over, it's an ongoing struggle. So, you know, any bit helps of getting involved or seeking out the community and knowing what the resources are in case anyone ever comes to you with need for help. But yeah, I think that's it. And stay tuned. I'll have some stuff that will release probably in terms of directing soon. So
awesome.
So that's probably the stuff that I'll, but it's all coming in some time.
Awesome. Thank you so much. When I'm done with the outro, I'll end the recording and then I'll just say a thank you before you go.
Awesome.
But, guys, if you're listening, please go follow her on Instagram. If you haven't watched Terrifier yet and you like horror movies, please do yourself the fucking favor and go watch it. It, in my opinion, it's very good. It's a very, very fun watch. And I, along with all of you, will go be checking out the trailer for part 2 that I did not know existed until just now. Take care of
pray it's there.
Yeah, I hope so. Take care of yourselves, guys. Take care of each other. And Samantha, I could talk to you forever. Hopefully we can have you back on one day.
Definitely. That would be amazing. I loved it. This is fun. Are you kidding me?
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Take care.